208 Weeks. Written by Alondra Lore. Read by Twilight. Week 24. Peter doesn't remember screaming, "Officer down!" But Cruz tells him later that he did. He stares at her a little blankly, but all he can remember is dark red blood seeping through Neil's stupid pinstriped vest and crisp white dress shirt. The scent of iron thick in his nose. The warm, tacky feel of Neil's blood covering his fingers as he pressed down hard enough to hurt. Cruz doesn't say anything more, just walks out and leaves Peter staring at himself in a hospital mirror. His lucky tie a loss, and his jaw clenched so tight his dentist will be thrilled. Peter's seen men go down in the line, and he's even been shot once himself, but nothing's prepared him for seeing Neil's eyes go glassy before they slid shut, almost a full minute before the ambulance screeched to a stop beside them. No one prepared Peter at all. He's washing his hands again when Elizabeth walks through the door like it's a ballroom instead of a men's room. She looks pale and worried, and Peter meets her eyes in the mirror and says in a cracked voice, "It's not my blood." "I know," she says, pulling him around until he's facing her, and then wrapping her arms around him. "I know." He buries his face in her shoulder and doesn't cry, because Neil's a criminal and a convict and a pain in Peter's ass. Nothing more than that. Elizabeth waits with him through the surgery, her hand clasped tightly around his. She's a pillar of strength when the surgeon comes out and explains in medical ease how close Neil had come to dying. She stands with him in Neil's room and watches him stare down at Neil, his chest hurting like he's the one who'd been shot. "You should go," he says finally, after a long moment. "I'm just going to stay here a minute." Elizabeth opens her mouth like she's going to argue, but then she stops herself. And Peter's grateful. "Okay," she says, smiling like she understands. "I'll see you soon." She kisses him on the cheek, squeezes his hand, and walks out. 2 hours later, Peter hasn't moved from his chair at Neil's bedside, and Elizabeth walks back in, rolling a suitcase behind her. It takes a minute for Peter to register what he's seeing, and by the time he does, Elizabeth is sitting opposite him, her hand cradling Neil's gently around the IV. "You didn't think I was going to leave you two here alone, did you?" she asks with a small grin. And Peter finds the smile he'd lost the moment he heard the shot. He knows in the bag Elizabeth has everything the three of them might need for an overnight stay, and probably things they didn't even know they'd need. "Thanks," he says softly, everything inside of him easing at her presence. He wakes up hours later, a hand clumsily stroking through his hair, and his wife's voice in his ear saying, "Peter, honey, he's awake." When he opens his eyes, he finds that Elizabeth is still sitting across from him, and the hand in his hair is Neil's. "Hey, sleepyhead," Neil slurs, the grin on his face less like a charming con man and more like an adorable 5-year-old. Peter blinks and shakes away the sleepiness, dislodging Neil's hand, which just lands and tangles with his own, and asks, "How are you feeling?" Neil glances at Elizabeth and then turns back to Peter, but there's none of the usual flirting in his voice when he says, "Lucky." "You're damn right you were lucky," Peter says, voice rising with the remembered heat of terror. "And next time, I don't care what you say. You're wearing a goddamned vest." "Uncomfortable," Neil says, wrinkling his nose. Then his grip tightens for just an instant on Peter's hand as he adds, "And not what I meant." "What did you?" But Neil's already dropping off to sleep again, and Elizabeth is smiling in the way that she does, when Peter knows he's missed something obvious. "I'll go and let someone know he woke up for a minute," she says, then stands, brushing a curl back from Neil's forehead and presses her lips against the same spot. A minute later, she's rounded the bed and done the same to him. Peter doesn't know why the ache's back in his chest. He's pretty sure Elizabeth could tell him, but he doesn't ask. Just like she knows he won't. Peter likes to figure things out for himself. Week 40. The instant after he wakes up, Peter panics. The sheets are rumpled and inviting, and he knows that he could just roll over and be welcomed into a warm embrace. A few kisses would melt the panic. A few touches would turn it into a different kind of urgency. But he also knows that the warm glow of after would fade, and reality would intrude once more and be worse for the delay. Peter knows himself, and there are just some things that he digs in his heels on and won't let go. He's petrified that this is going to be one of them. The thought's enough to shoot him straight out the doorway on a beeline for the kitchen, his breath coming far too fast to be healthy, but he either needs caffeine for this or a shot of good whiskey. "Coffee's ready," Elizabeth says, her fingers clacking away at her laptop. It jolts him again and has him darting a glance back at the bedroom guiltily, even though it's not as if Elizabeth doesn't know what's there. By some version of female telepathy, Elizabeth looks up at that exact moment, sees his incipient panic attack, and heads it off, her hands cradling his face as she says, "Breathe, honey. Just breathe." Peter's grip on her hands is probably painful, but she doesn't say anything. Just breathes with him for a long moment until it becomes something steadier. She smiles when it does, and then kisses him lightly on the mouth. "Better?" she asks, and Peter nods, because it's all still building up inside him, but at least he's got a handle on it now. "Good," she says. "Now listen." She stares at him until she knows he is, and says, "This isn't exactly the first time Neil's been in our bed, is it?" Her lips are curved in amusement, and Peter thinks back to 3 years worth of nights he stayed awake chasing Neil the first time. Piles of files and photos spilling out over the bed in a frustrated mess, and Neil Caffrey's laughing eyes staring back at him. But there's a vast difference between papers spread out on their bed and Neil Caffrey spread out on their bed, all pale skin and angles that cut deeper than any paper could dream. "This is different," Peter insists, and her smile grows. "Yes," she says, "it is." When she pulls him into a kiss, Peter goes easily, fitting his long body to the curves of hers. For several long, blissful moments, it's perfect. And then, it's better. A brief press of lips against his bare shoulder from behind, long, graceful fingers brushing over his stomach, dipping dangerously to where his pants hang low on his hips, a laughing mouth following the curve of his wife's collarbone, and then down to the swell of her breast. "Every morning should start like this," Neil says huskily, looking up at him with bright eyes a moment before he drags Peter down for his own good morning kiss. "Yes," Peter thinks to the sound of Elizabeth's delighted laughter. "Yes, yes, yes." Week 62. Peter's never been good at giving presents. Sometimes he's lucky and stumbles upon the perfect gift. But there are definitely more misses than hits, and it's a damn good thing that Elizabeth is both aware of his disability in this particular area, as well as very, very forgiving. But, like Elizabeth, Neil is absurdly intuitive when it comes to giving Peter exactly what he needs, and Peter's attacks of nerves make complete sense in the face of his first Christmas with his wife and his... whatever Neil is. "It's nothing," he says hurriedly, as Neil carefully pries open the inexpert wrapping job. "Just..." He trails off as Neil pauses suddenly when the hint of gold peeks through. And, if Peter didn't know any better, he'd say the look on Neil's face is nothing less than astonishment. His throat closes up, because he still can't read if Neil's expression is good or bad, but he has to finish what he started. "It was my great-grandfather's. My great-grandmother gave it to him just before he shipped off to war." In the dead silence, the crackle and pop of the fire sounds like the war zone that his great-grandfather had nearly not come back from. But Elizabeth's hand on his shoulder steadies him a bit. "There's an inscription," he adds, and watches Neil turn the watch slowly over to find the words from almost 100 years ago. It says, "Counting the minutes," and was supposed to be somewhat of a joke, an old-fashioned watch matching with Neil's old-fashioned sensibilities. Neil counting the minutes until his monitoring bracelet is off. Counting the minutes until he's free. It wasn't supposed to mean the things his great-grandmother must have meant. "I want you with me always. It's unbearable being apart. Stay safe. I love you." It wasn't supposed to mean those things at all, but Peter suddenly realizes that he probably would have been much, much safer had he bought Neil something new and shiny and meaningless instead. He opens his mouth to make an excuse, to explain away, but then shuts it abruptly when Neil looks at him and says softly and simply, "I love it." And before Peter can say anything to diffuse the emotion that's sending a flush to his skin, Neil is crawling across the couch and straddling his thighs and kissing him breathless. "I really, really love it," Neil says when he pulls away, his mouth full and red from more than wine. "I'm glad," Peter says, thinking that maybe it's okay that he meant all those things his great-grandmother had meant. And when he catches Elizabeth's smile, he thinks that maybe it'll be okay that Neil understands that he meant them too. Week 85. "It's going to be fine," Neil says, his lips curving up in a smile, his hands at Peter's throat, straightening his tie. "If you can make it through a mob shootout, you can make it through a wedding." "I'd rather have the shootout," Peter mutters, then bats Neil's hands away. "My tie's fine," he says grumpily, thinking about how he was never taking on a probie again if having one meant that he'd have to go to their weddings. "Why are you always fiddling with it?" Neil tilts his head to the side and fixes him with a look that calls him an idiot without saying a word. "It's just an excuse to get my hands on you, Peter," he says, faux serious, then yanks Peter forward to plant a kiss on his mouth. By the time Elizabeth makes it downstairs, Neil's leaning casually against the door, and Peter's lips are still tingling. "You do clean up nice, Mr. Burke," she says, and Neil smirks when her hands immediately tug at his tie. "Come on," he says, rolling his eyes at Neil. "Diana will kill me if we're late." The wedding's nice, as weddings go. It's short, which Peter can appreciate, and both Diana and her new wife, Rachel, look lovely. Dinner has been eaten, toasts have been made, and strings of white lights are twinkling in the June dusk, shining over faces bright with smiles. Diana and Rachel are dancing, heads bent close, hands clasped around each other's. There are kids chasing each other around the empty buffet table, and Rachel's grandparents are sitting on the sidelines, holding hands and swaying with the music. Neil is in the center of everything, of course, gliding across the floor with Elizabeth. Her laughter floats through the air, as light and sparkling as champagne bubbles, and he thinks that Maybe he should feel some sort of jealousy at Neil's hands curving possessively around her waist, at Elizabeth's fingers tangling in the length of his hair. They're a gorgeous pair. Beautiful. Elegant. His. He doesn't feel jealousy at all, just a rising surge of want. But he doesn't go to them. Can't, because he isn't the only fed to be invited to the wedding. And right now, if he touches one of them, he's going to want to touch them both. Instead, he sips his champagne and waits for the song to end. Waits for them to come back to him. When they do, Neil swipes his glass, takes a long drink, and says, "I do believe that Diana's agreed to a dance," and then winks as he walks away. Peter chuckles in remembrance, and then holds his hand out to Elizabeth. "May I?" They slide easily into each other's arms, because Peter may not dance as suavely as Neil, but when he's pressed this close to his wife, he has it on authority that he knows how to move. "Have I mentioned you look lovely?" he murmurs against her ear. "Yes," she says, and he can feel her smile bloom against his cheek. "But it never hurts to hear it again." "You look lovely," Peter says, stroking his hand over the bare skin of her back and closing his eyes to breathe in the lavender of her shampoo, the scent of her skin. When he opens them again, the song is over, and Neil is watching them with a look in his eyes that Peter can't recognize. "You should ask him to dance, too," Elizabeth says softly, and Peter looks at her askance. "I can't do that," he says, glancing quickly around. "You can't think they'll be upset at the fact that he's a man," she says, looking pointedly at the two brides. "Not because he's a man," Peter says, keeping his voice low, "but because he's a convict." In the low light, Elizabeth's smirk looks startlingly like Neil's. "And how many people," she says, leaning in to whisper, "has this convict helped you put away in the last year and a half?" "But that's not..." Peter starts, then stops at her raised eyebrow. When he looks back over, Neil's not watching them anymore. He's talking to Rachel's grandparents, and probably charming them as well, but Peter can't forget that look. "Excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Giordano," Peter says, smiling easily at them. "I'd like to steal Neil for a moment, if I may." They nod and smile at him, and Neil's smiling too, all the way up until Peter takes his hand to lead him out to the dance floor. "What are you doing?" Neil asks, sounding stunned, and Peter can't help but grin at catching the great Neil Caffrey off guard. "Dancing," he says, pulling Neil into his arms. Neil allows it to happen, but his usual graceful movements are awkward for several humming seconds, and it occurs to Peter that this may just be one more thing on an extremely short list that Neil wanted but never thought he'd get. It makes him tug Neil closer until they're pressed chest to chest, their legs brushing against each other with every step, and Neil lets it happen. But he doesn't really relax until he spots Elizabeth leading Diana to the dance floor as well. "Your wife's got a fine eye for the ladies," Neil says, finding his good humor once again. "My wife's got a fine eye, period," Peter says, closing his eyes and smiling when he smells lavender shampoo. Week 126. Peter's sure he's going to die. His heart is thundering, his whole body trembling, and he's gasping like he's run a mile in 10 seconds flat. He closes his eyes tight and whines in agony, just as Neil smooths a hand down his spine and says soothingly, "That's it, just a little bit more." "I'm not sure how much more I can take," Peter grits out, but it doesn't matter, because Neil's going to do exactly what he wants to do anyway. He always does. It's just that Peter doesn't mind so much anymore, because it usually leads to some pretty spectacular results. Shh, Elizabeth says, and Peter should be annoyed that they've ganged up on him again. But a half second after that, they move in tandem, and Peter is so very, very fucked. Week 171. Neil finally finds Kate at the end of January, just over 3 years into his sentence. Peter's not stupid. He knows Neil's been looking for her the whole time, and somewhere inside of him, he knew that Neil would find her. Neil's a master at getting what he wants, and for a very long time, all he wanted was Kate. Peter's not sure he can compete with that, and sometimes he's not even sure that he wants to. All he says when he leaves the restaurant is, "I'll cover for you," but he doesn't look at either of them before he goes. He doesn't call Elizabeth either, even though he wants to wrap himself up in her and forget he ever knew anything about Neil Caffrey. This is going to hurt her too, because she likes Neil, and Peter wants to be angry at Neil for hurting her, but he's too numb to feel anything at the moment. He goes home alone, knowing that Elizabeth's out all night at some event, drinks a half a bottle of whiskey, and passes out on their bed. He wakes up in the gray light of dawn when someone sits down on the bed, and for half a second, his mind scrambles for something to say, for when Elizabeth asks him what the hell is going on. But it's not Elizabeth. It's Neil. Neil, who's watching him, studying him with those clear blue eyes that have always seen more than they should, one hand absently stroking over Satchmo's back. "I'm staying," he says, like there was never any question. Peter's sudden movement has his stomach rolling and his head pounding, but it's readily apparent that he has to sit up for this conversation. "Why?" he asks, because that's really the only question at this point. Neil watches him silently for another long moment, and then says finally, "I gave you my word." It's the word of a thief, a con man, a convict, and it's weighed against the woman Neil has once given up 4 years of his life for without a second thought. But it had somehow come out ahead. Baffled, Peter watches Neil flash a cockeyed grin, then scrub a hand over Satchmo's head before leading him out of the bedroom and into the kitchen for food. Peter lays back slowly on the bed and stares up at the ceiling, wondering if Neil has stopped thinking of those years as something he gave up for someone, and started thinking of those years as something he's giving to someone. To two someones. He doesn't want to get his hopes up, but after he showers and shaves and becomes slightly more human again, he wanders out to the kitchen and traps Neil against the counter. "What?" Neil asks, fighting a smile. Peter raises his hands and undoes the smooth, perfect knot of Neil's tie. "Nothing," Peter says, eyes locked on Neil's. "Just fixing your tie." Week 208. The day Peter cuts off the anklet bracelet, he's certain that Neil is going to run. Neil doesn't disappoint him. After work, and because he's a masochist, he stops by June's townhome, only to be told that Neil had been packing up for over a week, and he'd stop by this morning only to say goodbye. "Thanks," Peter says, his voice rough and his smile empty. He leaves before she can feed him sympathy pastries and ply him with French coffee, and he heads home to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, who never once believed that Neil would actually leave. "He's gone, Al," he says wearily, walking through the front door and shrugging out of his coat. He left this morning. The clanking from the kitchen stops abruptly, and Peter slumps down onto the couch, closing his eyes. "Oh, Peter," Elizabeth says, and she sounds almost heartbroken as she crosses the room to him. He wraps his arms around her, burying his face in her stomach. It was stupid to think he'd stay. "That's not what was stupid," she says, running her fingers through his hair. When he looks up at her, confused, she kisses him lightly on the forehead and shifts to the side enough that Peter can catch the movement in the kitchen. "Surprise," Neil says blandly, dropping the apron he'd been wearing over the back of the dining room chair. He sticks his hands in his pockets and rocks on his feet, which makes the chain of his pocket watch glint in the low light. "You're here," Peter says dumbly. "Elizabeth invited me to stay." "She..." Peter starts, looking from Neil to Elizabeth. "You..." "Invited him to stay," Elizabeth finishes for him, running a finger over his cheek. "Because that's the part where you were being stupid." Peter's not sure whether he wants to strangle them or kiss them, and instead goes with impulse, standing and crossing over to Neil. "I'd have gone after you, you know," he says, matching Neil's stance, hands in his pockets. "Would you?" Neil says, eyes glinting, and a smile curving the edges of his mouth. "Maybe I'd have let you catch me." Peter says, "You would have," and for the first time starts to believe it himself. Neil tilts his head to the side, all flirty and inviting. But beneath it, Peter can see something more. "You think?" Neil asks. And after 4 years, everything finally comes together. "Yeah," he says, certain. "You were never very good at that part." Neil leans in close, his mouth brushing lightly against the edge of Peter's jaw. "I'll let you in on a secret," he whispers, his eyes bright and shiny and happy. "I was never really trying very hard." "So you're staying," Peter says softly, bringing his hand up to keep Neil close and reaching his other hand out to reel Elizabeth in. She loops her arms around them both and says, "Yeah, Neil, you staying?" Their three bodies pressed this close shouldn't work, but it does. It does. "Yeah," Neil says, like there was never any other answer. "You have my word." The end.